The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by Marquee Sports Network.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Connor McKnight here until 6. I'm actually off at 4. Brian Hanley will be in with Connor for the final 2 hours. And you'd think we talk a lot of baseball with Connor McKnight, who's our newest member here, hosting pre and post on the White Sox. I cover baseball for ESPN 1000. But Connor, it's football, my friend, because this weekend was absolutely great. I mean, I wanted to say amazing. I mean, like, can you call watching football amazing? I think you can. When you have 4 games like that, in my opinion, it was as enjoyable a weekend of football as I've had in a while.
Of course it was. Of course it was. And Jesse, thank you for the kind welcome, my man. I am absolutely thrilled to be with the station doing a little White Sox baseball all season long. I thought that this weekend of football, I would be able to detach myself from the connections to the Bears. You know, because everybody in this town watches a wild card weekend or the divisional round or the championship weekend and kind of goes, okay, I wish the Bears had this guy. I wish the Bears could do something like that. I wish the Bears had a quarterback who was 25 years old, maybe eligible in the draft that Mitch Trubisky was taking in. They could have, I don't know, maybe they could have taken Patrick Mahomes instead, something like that. And I really thought I was going to be able to watch that Buccaneers-Saints game and think to myself, okay, this is just going to be – it's 2 legendary quarterbacks. It's top-tier guys. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy their ride off into the sunset. Breeze for sure. And there I was, Jesse, watching that Saints team and just kind of like – I was like Arthur with the fist the entire time thinking, God, how could the Bears not take down that Saints offense? They don't have enough. They just – they didn't have enough. And over again, I'm watching that game thinking, man, if not for an offense of their own that was completely inept, they really could have advanced in that round. They could have beaten that team because they weren't all that great.
Yeah, but they're pretty good. They turned the ball over. I mean, they're a good, solid team. They have a really good defense, and their offense probably would have performed better without those turnovers, and turnovers are flukish. I mean, Brady said it yesterday. We just happened to get the turnover. Or 2.
Yeah.
And the big one obviously was the fumble. 20-13, Jared Cook's fumble. Tampa Bay goes in and scores, ties it, and now all of a sudden the momentum switches. And that was the difference in the game. We saw a couple turnovers be the difference in the game. Teron Johnson, I mean, that was easily the biggest the interception, 100-yard interception return to me was the biggest play of the game. In the Buffalo game. 10-3, right? The Buffalo's winning. They're going in to tie the game, and an 8-minute and 48-minute drive, and Lamar Jackson throws the 100-yard interception return. Jared Cook's fumble, probably the second biggest, moment in over the weekend. But of course, the most talked about moment was the Richard Higgins fumble with the rule on, fumbling outside the end zone. So many things to get to. I don't disagree with what you said. It's hard. It comes down to the quarterback play. It's just hard. I don't care if it's Tom Brady or freaking Chad Henne. You know, I think Chad Henne's would be better on the Bears after what he did than what they have. I mean, it always is the quarterback play you're comparing. And then on top of all that, Connor, we're hearing these little reports start to come out about Deshaun Watson, and they get a little bit more serious and more serious. And that just is the dagger going in a little bit deeper. And how appropriate would it be for the Bears to now trade for Deshaun Watson when they could have had him for nothing, and they're going to have to give up? I mean, they're probably going to have to give up one of the McCaskies to get him. They're going to have to give up one of their grandkids to get Watson when they could have drafted him free. It would be just, we would love to have him, but it'd be the ultimate final dagger. And some people say, oh, Pace won't do it because there'll be egg on his face. No, I think he would do it. I think he would do it because if you can get Deshaun Watson, In about 6 months or a year from now, we will forget about everything else that went wrong. The problem is they won't have a team around them to if they go ahead and trade for him.
No, of course they wouldn't. And Watson's got a no-trade clause in that contract as well, so you've got to navigate around that. How would you define the gruntledness of one Allen Robinson at this point?
Gruntledness?
Is he fully disgruntled at this point? Is he somewhere between gruntled and disgruntled?
I think he's fully gruntled. Fully gruntled, and there's two ways to get him out of that and go backwards to somewhat gruntled. One would be to pay him, obviously.
Sure.
That pulls him all the way out. Two would be to trade for Deshaun Watson. Like, he doesn't have a quarterback, and he's not getting paid. And because he doesn't have a quarterback, his numbers aren't as lofty as they probably could be, even though they're good, in order for him to get paid. So, like, one takes care of the other. But if you go ahead and bypass the quarterback and pay him, I think he'll be less gruntled.
Well, and I think you're right. I think cash degruntles a lot of people, right? A lot of situations, if you're dealing with something that's
too gruntled. Well, your first day on here, you're just making up words left and right. Your first
this is what
day
I do.
Doing a regular show. Just making things up. That's my job. I usually make up the words.
As many words as you can invent, that's what you go for. And this is, what, 10 minutes in? More words we're making up.
Yeah.
Listen, the Bears, we should every day during this offseason, during this playoff run and during this offseason, we should, as a Chicago media, talk about the Bears and their need for a quarterback who is named Deshaun Watson or somebody who can do the things that he can do. Like, you cannot let that team think that because, of course, they're not going to trade for him. Of course, there are other teams in this league that have more draft capital, a quarterback that they can send back, all of these things that the Bears don't have to give up for Deshaun Watson. It doesn't make really any football sense for the Texans to trade Deshaun Watson to the Bears. That said, the Texans haven't been doing things that make football sense for a while now. And the Bears don't deserve to get let off because it doesn't make enough sense. They deserve all sorts of criticism and attention on this particular note because they don't have Deshaun Watson, don't have Patrick Mahomes.
When you talk about not having enough, I mean, here's the difference between the NFL and the sport you and I cover. I mean, draft picks are huge in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, baseball, it wouldn't be a big deal to trade a draft pick, so to speak. But so my point is, any team could come up with the package for Deshaun Watson via draft picks. You know, I don't care if it's years out, five number ones. I mean, what did Dick could do for, was it Ricky Williams, right?
Yeah.
He traded the farm, meaning the future. If the Bears don't have personnel, it's about draft picks, right? It's about draft picks. So give up a number one next year, number one after that. I mean, it's going to take a lot, but you can do it. Except you do probably mortgage your future. But it's kind of like the chicken and the egg. I mean, if without the quarterback, you don't have a future either. But if you trade for the quarterback, you may not have a future around him. But the quarterback is still the most important position. So there's a long way of saying every single play we watch, we're down that we don't have Deshaun Watson in Chicago.
And you should be. You know, and this is what we learned over the weekend, too. I mean, you look at the quarterback, just the names that – even the dudes that lost – you know, in like Lamar Jackson or Drew Brees, the quarterback makes that work. And in some circumstances, you had, you know, a system kind of and a general level of aggression kind of take over when Chad Henne came in for the Chiefs. And you know, we'll get to where Patrick Mahomes is. That's probably the biggest storyline hitting in next weekend's slate of games. But obviously, you have a that position standing out as the largest place of impact in major sports, no doubt about it. And just to see that played out down after down after down this last weekend and revisit the quote from Ted about how, you know, there's two things we've missed so far. You sure we don't have the quarterback and we haven't won enough games. What else is there? Name for me the other things that
you really need.
Really
question. Yeah. All right, he's Connor McKnight. I'm Jesse Rogers here till 6. Well, I'm here till 4. Brian Hanley's going to jump in with Connor until 6. 312-332-3776 is the phone number if you want to sound off about the weekend. Connor sort of on the White Sox beat. I'm sort of on the Cubs beat. We're going to combine our beats. Next hour, talk some baseball, have some thoughts on Liam Hendricks, and I'm sure you do as well. We'll get to a lot of stuff regarding baseball next hour. I have a nice little thing on ESPN.com running tomorrow, Connor, that Cub fans will be interested in. That's the most I'll tease it with. You have to read it at ESPN.com. But the weekend was just great. I mean, I love the game of football. I mean, you and I, baseball is our business, so to speak, right? But we can sit back and be a fan when it comes to football. And that was just a great weekend. I mean, you don't – and here's the thing about football. And everyone says, like, I think you'd admit it. You can't always watch a random baseball game as a fan. I mean, if you're a diehard, yes, you and I will watch or whatever. But football, you can watch a random pro game. I don't care who's in. Now, it's the playoffs you want to watch. But I was going to say, you don't even have to have money on it. A lot of people say, oh, I won't watch it if I don't have money on it, if it's not the Bears. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. Those were great football games. I like the pro game better than the college game. When Johnson returned that interception 100 yards, I jumped off my couch.
Pure drama.
That was awesome.
Let me ask you this, Jesse, because I think, you know, as a fan, you know, you and I kind of got to, I don't know, change gears a little bit watching a different sport. Like you said, baseball is how we pay the bills. But, you know, football is obviously there's this love there always. How did you feel watching what we were told was the end of Drew Brees throughout that entire afternoon? Because full disclosure, both my folks went to Purdue, so I grew up in a household that worshipped the ground that Drew Brees passed on. Every 7-yard slant he threw in that system with Tiller was just like, you know, it was celebrated, all that kind of stuff. So I watched. I saw my dad cry when Purdue lost to Washington.
I thought last night your dad
was. Oh, he probably was. He probably was tearing up a little bit. You know, they were both, you know, the whole thing. I'm sure he's penned some sort of like emotive email to Drew telling him to stick in there and just hang on for one more, you know, all that stuff. But I having watched Drew Brees' career and just the way that he succeeded without being like this archetypical guy, he's not Tom Brady's size. He's not, you know, all that stuff. I was actually kind of relieved that this was the end, that a guy's career like this, you know, say what you will about the man himself, but the guy's career like this was brought to, it could have ended so much worse. I mean, you can see where that skill set was headed, and you could see kind of the lollipops that he was chucking in there and just, you know, getting by on savvy. I feel good that this is that Brees gets to walk out trying to go for it and trying to get downfield, or at least, you know, throw some crossing routes that could get downfield and battle against the league's greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah, you asked me how I felt about it, and you just stated such a personal thing with your family and everything, and that's about being a fan outside of the Bears or outside of Chicago. It has to be personal, because it's funny you asked me that, because I really. And I love Drew Brees like everyone else, accolades, but I really wasn't as focused on him because I really love Tom Brady. And anybody rooting against Brady last week or next week or in a year is crazy, in my opinion. We are seeing greatness different than Michael Jordan, but just as good, because this is about longevity and staying on top. And my God, what happened to that whole argument of Brady versus Belichick? And it was, oh, it's probably both. No, I think we got an answer. I think we got an answer this year if it comes down to one or the other. So my answer to your Brees question is, I wanted Brady to advance so bad. Yeah. And as much as Aaron Rodgers, my God, is he playing good. I, between being a Packer and the fact that I love Brady, I want to see the Buccaneers advance. I want to see this guy now do it on another team. So my focus was on Brady. And I don't understand anyone that roots against him, especially now that he's left New England, because you could find a lot of reasons to root against Belichick or maybe even the team. But how would you root against this guy doing it at this level? He now takes this team to the NFC Championship. Are you kidding me? In his first year? So I wasn't focused on Brees as much. Unfortunately for Brees, Connor, he's a contemporary with Brady, and he'll always be sort of a footnote when it comes to those kind of careers. So that's my answer. I was rooting for Brady. I thought it'd be a close game, and it certainly was, like everyone did. And that was a great game. But I'm a Brady guy. I'm a Brady guy. So that's my answer.
So you've definitely learned that it is the quarterback and not the system, right? I mean, was your mind made up before this game against the Saints? I mean, because I
know,
you know, we're shot at the Saints, but it's a very good defense that Tom Brady.
It is. I mean, no, of course we're being a little over the top about it. It's never about one person. But it is clear that the quarterback can make a team including a coach, more than the other way around. I mean, come on. That's the guy that actually plays the game. It's just like giving a manager more credit than your ace pitcher. It's just silly. Of course, you have to give the – but there's no doubt Belichick is as good as they come. But if we are answering that question one or the other, I think it got answered.
Yeah, I think we're on our way to learning that. And I think the way Tom Brady's playing is kind of like underlining it some. If he were dinking and dunking, right? If he was like Captain Checkdown and a different level of Tom Brady than he'd been over the last couple of years, that'd be one thing. It'd be like veteran quarterback gets it done by making safe play. He's going downfield. I mean, he had five downfield throws before I think the second quarter was halfway done. I mean, they were pumping it and trying to move the thing. And sure, that's like, you know, it's a little indicative of some of the wide receivers that they have. And that's not a perfect offense either. Like, you could probably do a little bit better in some spots for the way Tom Brady likes to play his game in some of those skill positions. But he still has guys to go get it to. Like, he's talking pregame about how he forgets he's got Scotty Miller and then hits him for a huge play.
Local guy, Scotty Miller.
Yes,
local guy.
Of course.
Well, you're breaking it down downfield. You know, here's my answer to all of that. It's a word that, you know, never has been used with you, Connor. He's a winner. He's a winner. And that's it. I don't care if he was dinking and dunking. The fact that he elevated the Tampa Bay Bucks, give me a break. Just if he was a manager, quarterback, you know, manager there, but elevated them to the NFC Championship game, I'd still be in awe of him, let alone he's playing like he's 37 or whatever instead of 43. Is that what he is, 43? I don't even know.
I think he's 55.
Exactly.
He's 109. Right. I think he's eating 45-year-old avocados and living until he's 110.
Why don't Silver off Jesse Rogers, Connor McKnight here on ESPN 1000, 312-332-3776. If you want to sound off on anything you've heard from the two of us or what you loved about the weekend, maybe what you hated, the whole fumble rule. I mean, I think it's obligatory the day after on sports radio. We have to talk about that rule. We'll do that next on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Got a first down at the 26. This Chiefs defense was best in the league in the last 2 minutes of the first half defensively. Allowed the fewest points, but the Browns are trying to defy that. Is a hit at the 5 to Higgins. He lost the football as he reached for the pylon, and they ruin a touchback as he fumbled through the end zone.
Well, this is going to be, I mean, whatever happens right here, Stefanski, livid. If this is a touchback, and it did look like it, Jim, this is devastating. What a throw. Movement with the eyes by the quarterback. Let's see right here. Oh, that's
the ball definitely came out early.
Probably changed the outcome of that game if Cleveland had any chance. The fact that Higgins fumbled out of the end zone and gave the ball back to Kansas City pretty much ended their hopes, even though they had a chance there at the end when Mahomes went down. Why don't Sylvia Roth, Jesse Rogers, Connor McKnight here. So let's discuss this. 312-332-3776, the number if you want to sound off on anything about the weekend, but especially about this play. I mean, like I said before the break, Connor, it's our obligation. We have to talk about it today. I don't care if you're doing sports radio in Honolulu. You got to talk about this play. And let me just give you my thoughts real quick. I'm not as torn up about the rule as everyone else is. You know the rule. You need to be a little bit more careful around the goal line. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know the rule. Now, I do think it's a little inconsistent, and this is the best way. I'm not going to go nuts about it, but, like, if you fumble the ball in the regular course of the field, you know, out of bounds, it's your ball where it went out or where you dropped it, right? Normal play. But so it only changes if you fumble into the end zone and then out, that it goes to the other team. I do think it's a little silly that it can go to the other team without the other team recovering it. I don't think you should be able to just, like, you know, throw the ball into the end zone and then get it at the 1 yard line. So
right.
Maybe it should be where you first lost the ball, if it actually goes in and then out of the end zone. I'm sure that's what most people are saying, but I'm not as torn up about it as most people, because you know the rule. Just be a little bit more careful around the goal line.
I like your stance here. Is essentially it's the Seinfeld show stance, right? I'm sorry, sir. The card says moops. You know,
yes.
These are the rules. They are unflinchingly rigid. This is how the game gets played. I got to tell you, I like that, you know, in an era of NFL where everything has been tailored around scoring points, you know, you can't touch quarterbacks, the rules for jamming receivers at the line and how much distance you get to be rough with people, all that kind of stuff. It's all we have created an NFL that is about scoring points. There exists like this one weird rule, like this clickbait link at the top, at the bottom of an article, this one weird thing that you won't believe about this era of the NFL. You can still fumble it out of the end zone and you lose possession, you lose points, you lose everything. I actually, like in a weird arcane way, I kind of like it.
That's a good point about the offense has every advantage except for this.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they need one more? What are we going to play? We're going to play 54 games, you know, for the rest of our lives? I mean, I know a lot of people would be fine with that, but I don't know. I think watching this too, I was all about I couldn't lose this game. Like, as a fan, I was all about the Browns comeback story. I think Baker Mayfield's hilarious in all the advertisements he's in. I like the way the team got put together. I like the baseball eggheads that got thrown in there and then torn out. Like, I don't know. There's so much about the Browns and all of this disappointment. Like, everybody loves an underdog story in America. And then I just love watching the Chiefs play. Like, Patrick Mahomes is the second coming and that he can do no wrong. And how are you going to go bad by having more Patrick Mahomes in your football life? So I was kind of a win either way with this. My heart got torn out a little bit when he fumbles the ball out of the end zone, though, because it was there. Like you said, Jesse, like this was, if they were going to make this happen, they needed that play. They had to have that play.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And you just need to know now, but let's say it's not a perfect rule at all. Like, again, I don't know if it's apples to apples, but if you're on the 50 yard line and you fumble out of bounds, it's your ball. I don't understand why just because it goes in the end zone, then out of bounds, it's not your ball. Like, to me, it's not very consistent. If there was a harsher penalty at the 50-yard line, if you fumbled out of bounds, it'd be more consistent. But I don't see why just because it bounced in the end zone for a second and then went out of bounds, it shouldn't be your ball. So I do see that side of it, but you need to be more careful. 312-332-3776 is the number. Why don't we take Roy from Belmont before we move on? Mike Tenier is going to join us. Mike from Pro Football Talk, he's going to join us in a few minutes. Go ahead, Roy. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, fellas. How about the New Orleans Saints taking a page out of the Bears' offensive playbook with the Mitch Trubisky special, huh? Only difference is New Orleans was able to execute it and catch it versus Javon dropping it right through in the end zone. But how about that? The exact same play, huh?
Yeah, you wonder if he called up Nagy and told him, hey, I'm stealing this, too bad, or he just did it, you know? I don't know.
Oh, I think he just did it. I don't think he's calling for copyright on that one. I think he just threw it in the playbook. I think it's funny.
It's like Matt's biggest victory of the year. Someone's copied a play.
They finally did it.
Yeah.
and how about this, too? It was the longest touchdown pass of the year for the Saints, only touchdown pass of the year for Jameis Winston. It's just fantastic. Like, the whole thing is just a roundabout. There's another rule, though, Jesse, in this play where Higgins fumbles out the back of the end zone that I think is worth discussing. And it's Daniel Sorensen, the Chiefs safety, who comes over, and actually I think he's playing nickel in that particular package, but he comes over and lays the hit on Higgins, and it's clearly a foul, but it wasn't called that way on the field, on the initial play. No flag was thrown. And I'm not here to argue about, like, whether that should be a foul or shouldn't be, right? Like, if you want to talk about, you know, the NFL being, you know, taking those hits out of the game and whether you like that or not, I'm not here for that part of the discussion necessarily. But that's in the rule book. Why is that not reviewable? Why is that hit not reviewable? It makes no sense to me.
I agree with you because I am not going to come down on the refs. Like, who was on the call? Nance and Romo for that game, right? I think.
They
didn't notice that until the replay. You and I didn't even notice it, right? If we did, it was very, very ancillary type of thing because the fumble was the play. And only in the replay do you really see the crown of the helmet. So I'm with you. That should be reviewable. You can't come down on the ref for not seeing that in real time, in my opinion. There's enough going on. He's got to figure out where the fumble was. I think it should be reviewable. Now, I say that, and I would probably be annoyed at just at another delay in the game. So,
yeah,
you know, sometimes you be careful what you wish for because there's enough delays. But I don't disagree with you. Here's the problem. The fact that he hit him like that caused the fumble.
Right.
You know, it caused the fumble. So the illegal hit caused the fumble, which makes it, you know, doubly worse. So, that was missed for sure. I don't know. I think rule needs tweaking, but it doesn't sound like you and I are as upset as other people are about it.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'd be fine if they did change the fumble at the back of the end zone or out the back side of the end zone rule. I mean, if they tweaked it, that'd be fine. And I'm not saying necessarily that hit with the crown of the helmet needs to be challengeable. That would be a nightmare. That's like handing Tito Francona a 17-man bullpen in a September game. Like, we're just never going to see the end of a thing, you know?
Right.
We're talking about 5.5-hour games. But reviewable is different. And especially when you've got, you know, plays like that are change of possession plays or scoring plays, as that one could have been too.
Right.
You're already taking a look at that. You know, I mean, you're already in a review for that. The booth is already taking a look at that because all scoring plays are under review. And I'm with you. I thought Sorensen made a hell of a play the first time I saw it. I thought it was a great heads up, you know, kind of lay it all on the line kind of play, but he gets him with the crown, and that by rule is a penalty, and I think it should be reviewable there.
Mike Tenier from Pro Football Network is going to join us in a few moments, sort of get that national view of the whole Deshaun Watson thing and talk about the upcoming AFC and NFC championship. The lines are out, basically 3-point lines, both games. Which indicates, you know, probably should be really good games. I mean, Brady versus Rodgers, that is juicy, juicy, juicy. We'll discuss it next on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Rodgers and McKnight in for Waddle and Sylvie. Let's go to Mike Tenier, Pro Football Network. And Mike, let's get right to it. I mean, right to the most important thing of the weekend. What's it going to take to trade for Deshaun Watson?
I saw that coming. This is not my first radio sting today. I knew you were going to Deshaun. What's it going to take? How about Tua Tagovailoa, the third overall pick? Whatever the other Dolphins overall pick, and then you start kind of sprinkling seasoning in there, and then the Dolphins get a quarterback, and the Texans get to figure out what the heck they're trying to do with their lives these days.
And what did the Bears get out of that? You didn't mention the Bears in that sentence at all.
Yeah, you guys got a lot of work to do. Do you even have a first? You have a first-round pick. Yes, you do. You didn't trade this one away. It would be delightful. I think everybody's going to put their cards on the table, chips on the table. Every home fan base is going to be like, yeah, we can get this guy. If you're not one of those teams who can say, we can give you our quarterback back, we can give you a first-round pick back that's pretty high, that's not like towards the end of the draft. If you're not going to do that, you're not going to be positioned for Deshaun Watson.
How bad are things between Watson and the Texans, really?
They're horrible, and this intersects with trust. It intersects with race, to be blunt, if you look at how some of these things are going. And it's a demonstration. By the way, I just saw something come across my feed that, you know, Jared Goff and Sean McVay are having, you know, issues. They're having marital problems. That's the joke. And here in Philadelphia, where I'm located, you know, obviously Carson Wentz and Peterson, they went to the divorce over here. This is like two orders of magnitude below this. There's no coach. They just got a general manager. There's, you know, an owner that players don't trust for a variety of legitimate reasons. The owner's got this Jack Easterby character who's like Jafar from Aladdin, and they don't trust him for a variety of reasons. You know, he's got the mind control stone or whatever. He's got that thing going. So he's in McNair's pocket. So it's just that bad. This isn't Deshaun Watson. They're like, I want out because I want out. This is a gutted organization, which there is no trust that his career is going to be handled in any way responsibly.
So it really does start with having a decent starting quarterback that just isn't as good as Watson, and you send him back along with first-round picks galore. That's what it comes down to, and the Bears have nothing close to that. They don't even have a – they have Foles under contract, you know, but that's not going to do it. So It is a pie in the sky thinking here, for sure. All right, let's talk about the games. I mean, we just were talking about the fumble, Richard Higgins. I mean, do you think the league will look at that after the uproar? I mean, sometimes after an uproar publicly, they do change the rule. Do you think they will?
It's possible. I think it'll get talked about. I know if that was a Saints game, Sean Payton would do nothing but talk about that for the rest of the offseason. He would force the rules committee to go there. I don't know if anybody on the Browns has that kind of juice to like kind of force the rules committee. Yeah, it's just, I get it. It's a helmet-to-helmet hit. It's a safety issue. It's just there's all these unintended consequences when you say, let's add something to the review. Okay, right. So you review that. Does that mean if they make the call, can the other team then say, oh, we want to review the fact that you made the call because it looked like his shoulder? Are you going to add to the total number of coach challenges, or is a coach going to have to look at this type of play and say, oh, well, I don't know if I want to use a challenge on that play because I don't think I'll get it? Then you're not doing anything for player safety. Is it just this? Because why is it roughing the passer or something that could be reviewed? We all see quarterbacks take shots that don't get called, and we all see quarterbacks, you know, do these amazing soccer dives and get calls. So it's easy to say, let's review it. And yes, reviewing it probably makes sense. It's a can of worms that every time they open this can of worms, it's another layer of rules and confusion, and it just causes the next problem down the line.
Mike, I got to tell you, I was somewhat relieved. I mean, everyone hated seeing Patrick Mahomes go out, but I was somewhat relieved that the conversation was he got up, he was clearly not all there, and then he was out of the game, conversation ends. Even Nance said it on the broadcast, like, if that's not a concussion, I don't know what is. And then we all just kind of moved on with our football lives. It was none of this nonsense about, oh, he's got to tough it out, or, oh, what's he doing? Like, yes, this is part of football now. We have to pay attention to this. Let's move on. I guess the question is, how did you feel about the way the Chiefs kind of restructured things as Mahomes went out and Henny came back in? And what do you think about Mahomes' availability for the next round?
Well, I'll just agree with what you said, and that's great. I hadn't really thought about that. That is progress. You know, people think there's no progress. People get super pessimistic. Well, 10 years ago, Colt McCoy got knocked out of the game so badly, and they threw him back in two plays. And the medical team for, I think it was the Browns that time, said, gosh, we didn't see the hit. And like that kind of tomfoolery went on, and that was just in your basic game. Here's a playoff game. And they're like, no, done. We're not even going to play around with this. That is progress. More progress is always necessary and helpful, but it's good to see some. I was shocked with the fact that Andy Reid said, oh, Chad Henne, screw it. Let's throw deep. Let's throw in fourth and inches. Let's scramble. Let's do all those things. It was bold, and it was remarkable, and it speaks to Andy Reid, what he brings to the table as a coach who's seen it all, done it all, and knows that he has to remain aggressive and to stress his opponent constantly through four quarters, through 60 minutes, through thick and thin, to win these games. My gut tells me Mahomes will be back. I have a feeling he will clear through protocols this week. The question I have isn't about whether he'll be groggy with the concussion, but whether he'll be having the lingering effects of the foot injury that he got about a quarter before the concussion. I think people have forgotten. He hurt his toe. He was limping. He was having trouble stepping into his throws. If we see Mahomes, and I think we will, I'm wondering if we're going to see a Mahomes that isn't 100% because of his foot.
Well, come on. We're going to see Mahomes, guys. We're going to see Mahomes. Yeah. And I don't know if the line reflects that or not. It's the Chiefs -3. Like, if you like the Chiefs and you're not sure if Mahomes is going to play, take the Chiefs right now. Because as soon as he's declared in, that line, I assume, is going to go up a little, but maybe not that much because I know the Chiefs don't cover all that much. You know, back to that fourth and two play, we hadn't talked about it on the show yet. You know, it's just such great leadership, right? It's like, hey, look, the guy's on the roster for a reason, talking about Chad Henne. It's the play call shouldn't surprise. It's a little pass. What quarterback in the NFL can't make that pass? It's the decision to go for it at the 50 that is somewhat shocking to people. But once you're going to go for it, why not pull out that play? It's a 5-yard pass. What quarterback, I don't know if you're a backup or not, can't make it. So the whole thing from top to bottom regarding that play to me is just great leadership.
Yeah, and you know, I'm close to New York where we saw a coach named Adam Gase. And it's not just him. But there's a lot of coaches who really love the excuse for things that go wrong. When things go wrong, they claim that they're going to keep fighting to the end, but you can see them embracing the excuse for failure. I saw Adam Gase when Darnold was hurt, when the backup was in. It's like, oh, we have no choice now but to run off tackle three times and punt. That's the only thing you can do with a backup quarterback. And I've seen other smarter coaches do that as well. And you're right. What the length of that pass is like any healthy adult can throw the ball that far.
Right.
It's not some special thing. It's all about the element of surprise and being obviously a good enough NFL athlete to roll out and stuff like that. The preparation that was involved. Everybody out there knows that ball's getting snapped at about 4 or 5 seconds, which is like the maximum time for the defense to be relaxed. Tony Romo was saying, look at the body language of the guys. This is not a real play. So you had guys out there who were just kind of making a show of dogging it a little bit. All of that level of preparation and detail, that's been Andy Reid. That's 20-some years of head coaching experience, and that's what the Chiefs bring to the table in the game to come.
Mike, if your next assignment from editors was to write the football obit for Drew Brees, where would you want to start? Where would you want the lead to kind of end up?
I might start with what he meant to the community of New Orleans and what he meant for the rebirth of that organization coming out of Hurricane Katrina, some of the years they had there, and that his arrival was part of almost a renaissance in terms of both the Saints organization and the city of New Orleans finding a way to be able to celebrate in the years after that, when we had that devastation, and then you have that moment where they bring football back and the place is rocking and the Saints are coming, is playing, and Green Day and U2 are there. And
yeah,
all through that, culminating in the Super Bowl and then these years of excellence afterwards. I think when you put all those things together, there's championships, there's records, there's all the other things. And obviously it's all eclipsed by Tom Brady, so he's not the greatest of all time or whatever. But somebody who meant so much to an organization and the community, I think that's where I would try to lead with Drew Brees.
Visiting with Mike Tenier from Pro Football Network. So who do you like in these games? Who do you like in these two games? Like I said, point spreads are pretty tight. You could make cases for all four teams. Probably tough to win in Green Bay in this moment, but you could still probably make a case for Tampa. Who are you rolling with?
I'm usually Chuckzilla in the playoffs, and I'm going to be Chuckzilla in the championship games here. If the Packers play their style of football, they're going to win and win convincingly against the Buccaneers. If they do what they did in Week 6, where the first thing something goes wrong, they kind of go into their heads and everything snowballs and they turn into a disaster, they're going to lose. But you can say that about any team. I don't think that's this year's Packers team. I know I've seen them do that in the past. Well, I don't think they're going to do that this year. So I got the Packers in that game. And then I look at Chiefs Bills. And again, like you said, it's the AFC championship game. Mahomes is going to be out there. Okay. I think these teams are close. I think there are little advantages that the Bills have. I think that they're better at special teams and stuff like that. It's just the ability of Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Mecole Hardman and Edwards-Helaire is going to be back. It's just an unstoppable force. And when you try to play catch up with them, then you run into the Honey Badger and Chris Jones. And when you factor that all in, I just think the Chiefs are going to pull away from the Bills.
Mike, good stuff. We appreciate it. We'll be reading you. Take care. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Take care and enjoy your week, folks.
You got it. That's Mike Tenier from Pro Football Network. It's interesting, Connor. I'm waiting for a shootout. I can't remember. Did we really have a shootout last week in the wild card round? We didn't really have one this week. I'm waiting for a shootout. Maybe it'll be Kansas City, Buffalo. Like I'm surprised we haven't seen a 40-point effort by one of those two teams yet, especially Buffalo, since they played two games. So that's one thing. I'd like to see a shootout Sunday in that game.
I'm with you. I think a lot of people were surprised that the Bills did not, put on the offensive show that they had most of the season. Josh Allen had that, like, what was it, Jesse? Like a 4-week or maybe even 6-week with a bye run of, like, not looking like the guy that started the season and maybe missing on some passes and not feeling super comfortable. I was just looking around, though. Check this. The forecast for Packers-Buccaneers is a low of 28 degrees and about 1 to 3 inches of snow.
Well, that game against the Titans, man, when they scored 40 in the snow against the Titans, that was a reminder of the home field advantage. And you know, Tennessee, a running team, didn't know what hit him with that snowstorm. So, you know, obviously it's an advantage for Green Bay, but Brady's played in it before. I don't know about the rest of the Buccaneers, but Brady certainly has.
He put up about 1,000 points against the Bears in a very snowy day at Soldier Field, if I recall. Chiefs-Bills, the forecast isn't a whole lot better. The low is 29, 28, and there's precipitation that could go from rain to snow during the game. I mean, we're
good. Love it.
It's Monday, and those games are a lot later than now, but I don't know. It's interesting. You know, could be a little, you know, like that the NFL films music as the quarterbacks are running out onto the field and slop and nonsense and all that stuff. Could be fun.
It could be. 312-332-3776 if you want to jump in. And speaking of the Buccaneers and Packers, is there anybody not rooting for Tom Brady? We'll ask that and answer it next on ESPN 1000. Now that you have a new health plan, you should plan to use it. Find helpful tips and more at getcoveredillinois.gov. Getcoveredillinois.gov. Your health coverage starts here.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, Waddle and Sylvie will be back tomorrow. Jesse Rogers, Connor McKnight here. We'll do some baseball talk next hour. Connor, our new pre and post-game host for the Chicago White Sox broadcast. That's coming your way this April. And, of course, my beat for ESPN.com and ESPN 1000 is the baseball beat. We'll talk some of that next hour. But we're continuing on this football talk. I mean, if you had any sort of, oh, Brady, I'm tired of him being there every year. The fact that he is now playing the Packers to get to another Super Bowl after his 14th championship game, I mean, you have to be rooting for him, right? If you're from Chicago, you have. Now, I'd be rooting for him anyway, no matter who he was playing. I just love this storyline just keeps on going. He keeps on winning. But this is a no-brainer, right, Connor?
How much of the TB12 diet are you on, Jesse? Like, is it the whole avocado ice cream thing and like the glowing
much.
Orb and all of the vibrating accoutrement? Like, you have everything, right?
You've got if the I knew Giselle or 100 million was at the end of that rainbow or whatever, at the end of that diet, I would do it. I would do it. But neither one's happening, so I'm not following that. I just like sitting on the couch and eating and watching him, you know, and his athletic prowess because of his diet.
I like that we're all willing to acknowledge that, yes, this diet clearly works. Something is about it, but everybody, the hell with it. We're not doing it. I refuse to engage.
What do I get from doing it? I don't get anything out of it.
I'm not suddenly going to manifest a laser rocket arm at age 35 and then go sign a contract with an NFL team. That ship has sailed. I think that time has passed. Here's the other thing, Jesse. I get that the NFL is different for me because of where I'm at and how old I am. Tom Brady has always been there for me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
There's never been a moment truly in my NFL understanding what I've actually cared about the game and stayed up for the whole Super Bowl kind of thing where Tom Brady hasn't been a factor. And I'm not necessarily rooting against him. If it happens, it happens, and that's great, and I'll celebrate the story. The guy's already the greatest quarterback of all time. I'm good there. In a lot of ways, Tom Brady is this NFL force that has already checked the box for me, and it's much more, and I feel weird saying this, but it's much more interesting to me to see Aaron Rodgers recapture what he had a few years ago, like resurrect what he has with a new head coach in a new system with new players, and for him to continue his march up against one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I don't know if that's like sacrilege to say in this town. Some of me just doesn't care, but I'm a little bit more interested in Rodgers than I am Brady at this point, because I've just seen it. I've been there. I've watched this movie.
You just lost your job at ESPN 1000 days after getting it for saying something like that. Now, here's the funny part. In all seriousness, if it wasn't Brady and it was the Packers playing, you know, Teddy Bridgewater or picking them, you know, whoever, I would probably root for Rodgers too. And I'm probably just lost my job in Chicago as well. Because I don't disagree with you. First of all, he's playing at such a high level. How can you not respect it?
It's ridiculous.
He has such a feel. He has such a feel for the pocket, for the position. It's just incredible. So I don't disagree with you on a certain level. But it's almost like our Breeze conversation. When there's Brady involved, nothing else matters. I mean, there will be a moment in time, going back to what you just said, that your football viewing thing will not include Tom Brady. That's going to happen. Father Time is going to catch up. And at that point, you'll have the rest of your life to watch every other bum out there. But in this moment, for him to keep doing this, especially as you get older and we all get older, like to see him do it at our age or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you just have to respect that and root for that. So the fact that it's the Packers and it's Brady just trying to continue to fight back Father Time, I am rooting for the upset in Green Bay without a doubt. But that's here's me. The other, I know you're, you know, I don't know. Maybe you should move to Green Bay.
Maybe. Well, I've lived there before. It's a desolate.
The Brewers have a great radio network.
They, you know what? They really do. That's top-notch stuff. Here's the other thing for me, at least when it comes to the Brady Rodgers Buccaneers Green Bay game. I don't know if this makes any sense to you, but because Brady's already done what he's done in this season and gone through some growing pains and, you know, I sorted some things out offensively, schematically, I guess is probably a better way to put it. I'm assuming that he's got another year. Another year of at the very least, like managing the kind of production that Drew Brees had this year in his last year with the Saints, or being able to, like we were talking about earlier on in the show, manage an offense and maybe not necessarily be a downfield threat, but certainly a capable quarterback that doesn't turn. What do you have, like 12 picks this year? Is that it? Like that's, I figure he's got another year left to kind of get things back together with the Bucs. And certainly the Bucs aren't thinking that way. And Buccaneers fans, if they actually exist, aren't thinking that way. But I'm cool with Tom Brady kind of existing for another year or two. And I don't know if I'm being crazy for just kind of like shooing away the urgency there or not, but he's convinced me that he's got another season of football left.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt, especially now. He looks like he's rejuvenated in that weather down there, you know, overall living down there now. So absolutely. All right, we have to break. I know you want to get to some Deshaun Watson stuff, and I didn't know this, see this before, but he put a tweet out today that I thought was kind of funny. It just in a weird way, but we'll get to that after the break, and then we'll get to some baseball as well. So don't go anywhere. Jesse Rogers, Connor McKnight on ESPN 1000.